BlogTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday night.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Is it wrong that I was totally aroused by that?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
School is in session.
With your host, Tim Stein.
If I had to, I'd be on any one of you.
Heartbreak Mike.
They call me Cookie Dude.
The Omega.
When I walk outside naked, people throw garbage at me.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm hopeless and awkward and desperate for love.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
We just stayed up all night talking on the internet.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I have Google Earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday Night.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It was Clash of Champions tonight. So, everyone enjoy it.
It was a thing.
Yeah, I guess this is what we have a show for, to actually discuss these things.
Yeah.
It was very clashy.
It's one way to describe it. I'm sure our actual in-depth coverage will be far more riveting than that. So let's find out for ourselves. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
What's up, guys? Heartbreak Mike here. Let's talk about it.
Okay, well, we can't talk about it just yet. We have to finish the introductions first.
I know.
Get all that out of the way. So, with that said, please welcome the one and only Tim Stein.
Mike always seems to be in a hurry to absolutely say nothing at all, even though he does talk once in a while. Sorry, Mike, I had to take a shot at you.
That's fine.
So I did. Yeah, coming into the live webcast tonight, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Clash of Champions edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Opening song tonight was a bit of a tribute to the late, great Rick Ocasek, depending on how you want to pronounce his name, lead singer for The Cars, song that we heard, Let's Go, by The Cars off the album Candio. Unfortunately, we lost him earlier this evening, and The Cars was a really, really, really huge, big, important rock group for me when I was a young guy getting older. So that was played for him. But let's try not to be sad about stuff and talk a little bit of wrestling. Oh, wait, we're talking Clash of Champions. All right, let's just get this out of the way right now. In my opinion, the best show of the night was Becky versus Sasha. I'm just going to say that. We'll get to it in a bit. But the show wasn't bad. It was just, it felt really humdrum to me, Omega.
for a pay-per-view that's all about the champions are all in the spotlight and we are highlighting all the champions, every championship is on the line, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's just, it felt lacking. Like it didn't feel like it was a big deal.
Now, don't get us wrong, guys. I got to reiterate this again and I cannot state it enough. When we talk about these pay-per-views and we talk about the WWE, and we're going to be branching out, talking a little bit more NXT now that it's going to be on USA Network, and of course we're going to be broadening our horizons a bit with AEW in the very near future. But we critique, we're not criticizing. There's a bit of a difference. We are by no means taking shots at the men and women in the ring, providing us with all of this combat sports entertainment night in and night out. We're not yet, well, okay, almost none of them. There's one or two that we've called out because, yeah, they didn't deserve to be there.
Yeah, Baron Corbin wasn't on tonight.
Naya, excuse me. Naya, got something stuck in my throat. I got to be really careful because certain people are friends with other people that I happen to know, and I don't want to get into too much trouble. But, yeah. Did you guys catch the pre-show? Because naturally, I was at work like I always am on a Sunday afternoon.
Caught the pre-show.
Kind of.
Can you tell me what happened? Because our producer isn't going to be able to. He's too busy watching the Philadelphia Eagles losing to the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh.
Either or one of those birds are fucked. Well, all right. So, it was the Cruiserweights. No, was it?
Yeah, Cruiserweights first.
Okay. So, first of all, we had the Cruiserweight Championship match between Lince Dorado, Alberto Jr.
Humberto.
And Tony Nese.
Nope.
Yeah, Alberto's not with the company anymore.
Well, Humberto.
Drew Gulak.
There you go.
Drew Gulak. I apologize. He looks like Tony. Look, leave me alone.
It's 205 live. I don't pay attention.
Okay. As long as we're both on the same page. It was a good solid match. Dorado really, he showed out. Like, at least thank God he's not a Sin Cara. Thank God. The fact that he can actually do, you know, springboards and high flies and.
Well, he hasn't gotten injured yet, so he can't be.
It's because Sheamus hasn't powerbombed him. but it was really good. It was a nice little, honestly, Dorado really shined. And then Drew Gulak won.
I mean, it's, the Cruiserweight matches just aren't as exciting now that we don't have Buddy Murphy in all of them.
Yeah, we need Buddy.
Well, we need Buddy to do bigger things. Yeah, you know, we don't really need him, you know, the 205 live thing forever.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it's a fine Cruiserweight match. There's a little bit of, there's some awkward exchanges in here. Like Humberto and Dorado start exchanging submission holds. Can't remember who had what and what, but eventually Drew just picked someone up and threw them at the other guy.
Brute strength.
It's like, oh, we're going in for like one of those triple submission things. No, he just picks him up like a baby and chucks him at the other dude.
Here you go.
You know, in that way that you chuck babies.
Yeah.
I don't think about the things I say.
It's okay.
The only thing I can say about babies is you shouldn't chuck them.
What if their name is Chuck?
Don't chuck Chuck.
Named my child Chuck for a reason.
How much would Chuck chuck if Chuck could chuck wood?
Stop it.
He can't chuck wood. He's a baby.
Oops.
This is why we can't have nice things.
No, I have more input, but I can't because I didn't see the pre-show. The pre-pay-per-view.
I mean, it's understandable, but honestly, like Omega said, the Cruiserweights, it's not as exciting as it used to be. No Buddy. No Cedric. Yeah, that's about it. Oh yeah, and it's not 2002 to 2005.
And then what happened?
Exactly.
Okay, and then on the pre-show what happened?
And then on the pre-show we had our which really pisses me off. The United States Championship match between AJ Styles, Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, they put AJ and Cedric on the pre-show. Let's rephrase this. They put AJ Styles on the pre-show.
Who did he piss off? Whose car did he scratch in the parking lot accidentally when he parked his car?
Probably.
I'm just trying to think up the reasons why he was on the pre-show.
Maybe he asked for it. I never know.
Did he go into the fridge and accidentally eat Triple H's yogurt?
Maybe.
But he shouldn't do that if Triple H puts his name on it.
Eh.
I'm just saying.
Anyway.
And two, yeah.
Short match, Cedric has control for the first part, and then AJ just runs roughshod. Like, the end of this match was basically just a showcase of AJ Styles' finishers, which is a big disservice to do to Cedric, because the guy can go in the ring, and a match between him and AJ should be, appropriately enough, phenomenal.
Ah, maybe just, they're saving that for Hell in a Cell as a rematch.
I don't see that. Considering how fast this match went, it's not like there's any room for, oh, well, you still deserve another shot at the title.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Cedric got flattened here.
Cedric doesn't get title shots. Mm. So.
Well, you know, the sad thing about it is the pay-per-view ended before 8:30 Mountain, before 10:30 Eastern. They could have put it on the main show.
You know what else could have been on the main show? The King of the Ring.
Yeah, what the hell? That was supposed to happen tonight. They're waiting until tomorrow now.
Card is subject to change. Probably something's happening.
Yeah, card is subject to change, of course. You see Shane Weasel his way back into it somehow?
You know, I said he'd do it, and he did it.
I gave you full marks when I saw your tweet. I didn't tell you I gave you full marks, but I gave you full credit. I'm like, well, I saw that and said, fucker was right. I called you a fucker.
Oh. Well, there's no room for him to wiggle back in. It's just the finals.
No, so I don't know. Maybe they're doing it for hopefully a ratings jump on Raw tomorrow night.
Probably. I hope so.
Possibly.
If a Baron Corbin match could ever jump ratings.
Baron freaking Corbin. Bloody hell.
Big breakfast Baron Corbin.
You know, when they want to push a certain wrestler and the fans aren't having it, they should take him off TV for a while. Worked for Roman, incidental circumstances aside, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, before Roman got sick, we were saying take him off TV for a couple of months, then bring him back and the crowd will get behind him.
Touche.
I'm just saying it would have worked. You didn't have to make him sick. No, it wasn't a work, you guys. He really was sick.
Yeah.
People are still not buying it to this day.
Because it's pro wrestling. It's pro wrestling. There's probably someone out there who still believes Jerry Lawler never had a heart attack, even though you saw it on live TV.
Ridiculous as anything, yeah.
Because it's pro wrestling.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, was that it for the pre?
Pretty much, yeah. Aside from a random appearance by King Booker.
Well, we had two appearances by random King Booker tonight, didn't we?
Later in the show.
Well, there you go. Because I didn't know he showed up on the pre-show.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe I'm only remembering the one. Because Booker T is usually pre-show, so I guess I'm getting my head screwed up. It's been a weird day.
I can relate to that, and I can let you know why later off the air.
Sure.
Anyway, why don't we just jump into the main pay-per-view here? The pay-per-view opened up with Seth Rollins teaming up with Braun as the champions, the tag champions, defending against Ziggler and Bobby Roode.
Wow.
Okay, my impression, in parts the match was good and in parts it was clumsy. Especially the setup to the finisher. Okay, your turn.
Kind of thought it was called in the ring. Nobody planned spots. Well, a few spots, but some of those were like messed up. Then the finish, then boom.
I mean, it's a mostly by the books tag team match. There's nothing terribly thrilling about this one.
Yeah, it wasn't really, you know, like you're always hoping for a hot opening match to pump up the crowd. I got home from work. This match was already underway. I saw most of it. It didn't have that hot open. It wasn't. It failed to do the job it was supposed to do. It's the best way I can describe it. I can't fault the match. It was a Monday Night Raw match. It was not a pay-per-view match.
The thing is, there's no way it should have been the start. It shouldn't have been the open. But it had to be because two of the guys in it were wrestling for the Universal title at the end of the show.
Yeah,
so
well, in that situation.
You gotta let them cool down. You gotta let them rest up.
In that situation, they could have gone on second. That would have been fine. You could have put Bailey Charlotte on first.
I mean, really looking down the card, it's hard for me to tell who should have gone first instead.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there's this really weird divide where you have pretty middle of the road matches, even ones that shouldn't have been middle of the road. And then just, oh, this is where the pay-per-view matches were.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to disagree with you on that one bit whatsoever. That's for darn sure. But, it was a rather awkward bump that Braun gave Seth, bumping Bobby Roode into Seth to set up the ending of the match. It was just like, it looked like everybody was maybe, one step off their marks. You know what I mean?
A little bit.
It just came across to me like Braun, started the wrong, you know, like in the wrong direction and had to shift by one step halfway through his run. Bobby Roode was, planted one step off, which made, you know, necessitated Braun's move. It looked like Seth was one step away further than he should have been from Bobby. Before Bobby crashed into him.
I don't think, like I said, I feel that this was like a rushed match. They were in the back, probably like, all right, cool. So 12 minutes, bring it home. Thanks.
And it shouldn't have been a rushed match. This was built up, overall, it was built up for a little while. And they could have done a little bit better. Somebody chiming in.
No, I'm saying that yes, they could have.
Yeah. You know, the way I'm looking at it, where was it going? Lost my train of thought because you interrupted me.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember if I picked Seth and Braun to retain, but we all should have been prepared for them to lose, I think. It just came across as, I don't want to say sloppy because it wasn't exactly sloppy. And I really hate to use this word, but I'm thinking maybe sloppy, lazy would be a better word.
Lazy, I could see, considering half of the match knew they had to put on a much better show later on.
Yep.
So that could kind of fit, yeah.
Yeah, lazy, that's the best fitting word I can think of. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not calling, again, we're not calling the wrestlers lazy.
They were probably just like preserving their energy.
Let's say this. They were pacing themselves.
Yes. Conserving themselves. That's it. They were conserving themselves. But yeah, new tag champions, thanks to that Braun screwing up. And of course, Braun leaving the ring looking all disappointed, sad, and disgusted that they lost the titles, which you couldn't tell if he was blaming Seth or not, or blaming himself, whatever. I don't think it matters, but I'm surprised they gave, Ziggler and Roode a belt. The belts.
Let's see where this goes, man.
Yeah. So, do you figure they might be transitional? Lose the titles at Hell in a Cell?
But to who?
That's the question.
I mean, it's a hard call, because at this point, both of them need something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there really a reason to take the belts off of them or make them transitional?
Right. Exactly.
You know, when you might be able to give them TV time, but just keeping the belts on them for a good bit.
Not to mention following in their wrestling ancestors' footsteps. No, Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect.
Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next match on the card.
It's the only time Ziggler's ever going to be compared to Mr. Perfect.
The only.
Okay, fair enough. Next match on the card, Bayley defending against Charlotte. I brought it up. A couple weeks ago, when Bayley came out, Sarah swinging the chair, are they going to turn her heel? She had some heel tactics tonight. She was having her ass handed to her a little bit here and there by Charlotte for most of the match until the turnbuckle pad mysteriously disappeared in front of everybody. Thoughts?
This was interesting. I mean, this is one of those matches that's actually actually more just a promo that's in the form of a match. Because this was just to get character across.
Yeah.
Like, because we're in this no-win scenario where Bayley is a fresh heel. You can't have her lose her first time out. And Charlotte just beat Trish Stratus and keeps calling herself the queen of all eras. You can't deflate that so fast. So what do you do? You throw in an ending with shenanigans. And yeah, this had shenanigans where we see Bayley go with sneaky heel tactics for the first time to pull out a sneaky win. It's like, okay, that's a new twist to the current Bayley.
Yeah, and it does help further the character development that we were talking about with Bayley, you know. Oh, little girl's growing up.
And what I like is Charlotte after the match kind of smiling and nodding her head. Like, okay, Yeah, because she's a Flair. You know, there is a level where she can actually appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay. You it's going to be like that. All right. Fair enough.
Okay. Good on you. Didn't think you had it in you.
Now, here's the thing that I'm going to throw out at you just after we're basically finished talking about this match. Stuff that we saw tonight will set up a couple of matches for Hell in the Cell on October, what was it, the 4th? 5th? 6th? October 6th.
4th, 5th, 6th, sometime.
Yeah, one, October 6th.
It's the 6th. Yeah,
October 3rd is Thursday, 4th will be Friday, Saturday is 5th. So yeah, October 6th. Anyway. We will have seen some matches that were nothing more than setups. Once we get through the card, we'll talk about that real quick here. But anybody have anything else to say about Bayley versus Charlotte?
7 out of 10 ain't bad.
Seven out of ten.
It's a character building match, and it's not even that much of a match. So, yeah, it accomplished what it set out to do.
There you go, yeah. Okay, next on the card, New Day defending versus the Revival. Typical New Day match, guys.
I'm really sick of this. Like, isn't Xavier the weak link of the New Day shtick?
Mm-hmm.
Like Xavier has such a good future right now.
But he's always, you know, air quotes, hurt and stuff.
Yeah. He's always the one that takes the brunt of the beatdowns. He's always the one that's laying outside because he got hurt during the match, et cetera, et cetera. Like, the guy is good in the ring. He's young. He can work a mic better than anyone else in that company right now. He's in touch as hell with pop culture and what the young demographic WWE wants is into. And, oh, by the way, he has a PhD. This should be your biggest role model on the whole freaking company, and he's laying on the outside because he has an owie.
Because
he got an owie. Well, now with this left knee of his being all injured, guys, is this all 100% work like Becky was at one point in time, or does he actually have a tweaked knee?
It's Xavier Woods. It's a work. He was fine for the rest of the match. It's just the writers going, someone's got to look weak.
Yeah, well, let's face it. There's no way I can draw that discussion out. I tried. It didn't work. But poor beat up old Xavier, the reason why the titles changed hands.
To make history so that the Revival can make history as to be the first tag team to hold the SmackDown, Raw, and NXT titles.
Because AEW is coming up on TV and they don't want the Revival going anywhere.
That too.
Yep. Even though Mike likes to say stuff about the Revival.
Fuck the Revival.
Mike, there you go. I mean, like when I set you up, don't take so long.
Fuck the Revival.
There you go. So are you disappointed New Day lost the titles?
Not necessarily. I mean, it's going to be really nice because, like, the Revival are those old school wrestlers that are just like old school. No flip, like their slogan, no flips, just fists. Hearts.
Well, you know, if you don't believe they're old school, just ask them. They'll tell you.
Exactly. Hard hitting, smash mouth. And cut good promos. Come on, guys. Like, you can't beat that in the tag team. It's amazing. And I like their tag team. I like their tag team style. Do I like the New Day? Of course. But sometimes you get a little bit tired of the New Day a little bit. So I'm glad that the Revival has won the titles once again. Congratulations, Revival.
There you go. So who's their next opponent's going to be?
That, I don't know. Those are SmackDown, they're not Raw titles. Okay. Oh god, not, no, the Usos, nope. Isn't the draft coming up soon?
Yes, there is a draft coming up soon.
So, I mean,
do you know why? Do you know why?
No. Well, because Fox.
Just over 2 weeks, SmackDown's debuts on Fox. It was announced tonight that there's going to be a draft, a two-night event.
Yeah, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah. And I don't know if, did you hear the announcements about, the draft?
No.
during the pay-per-view. Yeah. The announcers are talking about, just in, guys, there's going to be a two-night event. It's a WWE draft. Who's going to go where? And then Michael Cole says, WWE SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
In just over 2 weeks, we'll be on Fox Sports.
It's probably when I went to go take a piss break.
Did you not hear what I just said? Fox Sports.
Yeah, I heard what you said.
It'll be on Fox, not Fox Sports.
Right.
Fox Sports is a separate set of networks.
I know, but it's Michael Cole. Do you really think it wouldn't be Michael Cole if he didn't mess that something up?
And I sure hope that Vince gave him an earful right after he did that.
Of course he did. Of course.
He didn't correct himself. That's the thing.
No, Michael Cole's getting older. He's not the younger, skinnier Michael Cole. He's getting the old dad bod, retired announcer.
Gray hair, spreading obesity, developing the old man gut.
Considering the fact that
he probably suffers from uncontrollable flatulence. You know, old man shit.
Yeah. And considering that, well, it is also an insult to injury because he's going to be the announcer. He's going to be the commentator for SmackDown. Kinda sucks.
Who's going to be the commentator for Raw?
Not Michael Cole. I think it's, isn't it the guy from 205?
Oy. Oh my God. Well, we'll find out. I'm just wondering if my buddy Keishi's listening in right now. If he is, I haven't seen him post in the chat room yet. Keishi, you out there? Come in, Keishi. Over. Anyway, we'll find out. We're down a body temporarily and I've stalled. There he is. I stalled long enough. Let's, move on to the next match and then, we can catch him up when he returns. Up next, one of the better matches of the night on the card. Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross defending their tag titles versus Fire and Desire. Good match.
It was!
Here's the thing. Anytime Nikki Cross gets in that ring, I get excited. I love watching her. You never know what she's going to do. You never know where she's going to come from. She changes up her moveset every single match she goes out to.
Mm.
Know what I'm saying, homeboy?
Oh, yeah. Now, this match, okay, it showed out for Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose, she really showed, well, she's always shined that she's a good wrestler. But, nevertheless,
she had a chance to show it tonight.
Yes. Yes.
That's what you were looking for, and yeah, you're welcome.
Has she ever competed for a title? I think this was the first one, right?
Her name's not Carmen.
True.
Don't get me started on that.
But her and, you know, Fire and Desire, really good name. It was just...
Wait a minute. Which one's Fire or which one's Desire?
Fire would be, I was about to say her real name, Daria.
No, use her WWE name. Careful.
I know. I forgot.
You never in public address
a wrestler by their real name. I know, which is why I had to stop. Sonya. There we go.
Sonya Deville.
Is Fire. Desire is Mandy.
Now, here's the question. Is she called Desire because that's what she has, or that's what you feel when you see her? Ooh, conundrum.
Yes.
Come on, Chalky White, you can figure it out.
Yes.
Yes. Just yes. I'm not going to clarify that. Nope. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. Just be like, is it this one or this one? Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, not only did Alexa and Nikki retain the titles, Alexa almost got herself another one in the middle of the match versus Sonya and Mandy.
Uh-huh.
Out comes Ron Killian. I'm sorry, Archer.
That was, oh my goodness. She was, Alexa didn't have, that was funny. She was like, anybody Who wants to find out? R-Truth is in the building. I repeat, R-Truth is in the building.
Now, that was fun. That was that little promo they cut before the match. How do you feel about, like, cheering Alexa as a face as opposed to enjoying her heel tactics and shit?
She's a tweener.
Yeah, well, again.
Well, yeah. It's...
She's on the baby... Right, okay, let's do it right now. She's currently on the baby face side of the tweener.
She's eye candy tweener, if that helps.
No, it doesn't help.
Not.
No, it does not help.
She's eye candy, but she can't be defined as such because she's incredible in everything.
5 feet of fury.
Yeah.
No. Right now she's just fun. You know, she's not being overtly heel. She's still like ambiguous how much she really is friends with, Nikki Cross, or if she is just using her for the tag team gold and whatnot. So you keep
Well, it's
that.
Like I see. Sorry, keep going. Oh, wait.
Like you keep that, you let that doubt in her be her defining character trait, so it makes her a little bit more dynamic. That way what she's doing has a bit of ambiguity to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you see, I do not trust this whole thing, and I haven't since they got together. I've not ever hidden that from anybody, and I have stated that I see her turning on Nikki. Now, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure, down the road, that's the booking for this tag team is eventually they're going to turn. When that happens, I am just going to be salivating for that match. And don't let your minds go into the gutter on that one, everybody. It's going to be fun. Nikki versus Alexa.
Now, what if they twist you and have Nikki go heel?
Well, that'd still be great. I could see it happening.
Well, just as you start believing that, just as you start believing that Alexa is being legit about the friendship, she's the one who gets betrayed.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. That's an excellent booking twist. That's one thing that, when we write wrestling shows and we write matches and we write storylines, we're always thinking, well, can we put a twist in this? Would it be accepted? How would it go over? Should we try it? Should we not try it? Something like this, I would say, no, don't make Alexa. We've seen it. Okay. Dog bites man is not a news story. Man bites dog is a news story. Why? Because one happens all the time. The other never does. So you don't expect. And that's the rule of thumb when you're writing this shit. So, Omega, thank you. I love that idea.
Hey, the booker likes my booking ideas. Hey.
There you go. Now, as far as Alexa coming out full Harley Quinn tonight, doesn't Harley Quinn have one pink ponytail and one pink and one blue?
Yeah.
So she wasn't full Harley tonight.
It depends on your, not really.
She was like 95%.
Yeah, she is in the Harley vibe. Because we've seen her come out full Harley.
Yeah, we have. And the timing is weird in this case because just announced The Suicide Squad, the sequel to when did that movie come out? 2016, 2015?
I forget. I try very hard not to think about the movie.
Well, here it is. Half of the original cast is returning, but they got a new group of good bad guys for the other half. Mm-hmm. Will Smith is not coming back, and all I can say is good.
Because Will Smith costs a fortune.
Well, he's not coming back because of conflicts with another movie he's going to be busy filming, but. I'm sorry, as far as Will Smith playing Deadshot, no. Guess who's replacing Will Smith?
John Cena.
No. He's gonna be in the movie, but no. Omega, you might get a kick out of this. Idris Elba.
What?
Mike is surprised and shocked.
Okay.
Yep. How good was tonight's pay-per-view? Well, we're talking about the upcoming Suicide Squad movie, so you tell me. But here's the thing.
Idris Elba is replacing Will Smith in this movie, but they have been saying he's not playing Deadshot. He's playing a totally different character. So now here's the question. Who's he going to play? I'll just leave that with you.
Murder yeah. Shot.
All the way. Murder Shot.
Totally different guy.
Yeah. That just sounds like DC ripping themselves off.
I mean,
a DC knockoff created by DC? How dark.
Have you seen what happens to most of the sidekicks? They literally just turn into knockoffs of the big heroes.
Like, okay, Nightwing?
Yeah, Nightwing. Yeah, let's see. We got Nightwing. We got Arsenal. We got Velocity. There's a lot.
You gotta remember their role models, right?
Yeah.
Are the main guys. And of course, if you're following a role model, the role model's gonna rub off on you when you go out on your own.
Mm.
Now, you can call that a knockoff or you can call it a tribute. Yeah, let's stick with knockoff.
Right.
There you go. But, anyway, yeah, back to the match, of course, Alexa and Nikki retain. It would have been hilarious if she actually had, pinned R-Truth and won the 24/7 title. They retain and then she loses it back to him right afterwards. That might have been a little bit overboard, but still would have been funny.
Might? Yeah. It would have been a lot of, well, no, it would have been perfect, but.
Well, I mean, you could do that because Nikki was laid out on the outside at the end of the match. R-Truth could have just run back, pinned her, and left without ever touching her.
Yep.
What I love about it, that would have been hysterical because, like, even during the hardcore championship run, I can't recall an instance where the championship changed hands during a match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was like someone competing in the match won a completely different championship than they were going for.
That would have been funny. Would have been awesome. Anyway, yeah, it was a great match, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes. Now, are you guys in agreement with me when I say this is like the first match of the night that had that pay-per-view feel to it?
Yeah, this is where it started picking up.
Mm-hmm.
This did pick up. Yep. So, but still, in my opinion, not the match of the night. I think I've already said it, but,
yeah,
we'll get
spoilers.
Back.
Spoilers.
Yeah, we're getting there in a minute anyway. Next up, The Miz trying to, dethrone Shinsuke Nakamura. And how many people tonight at the arena were half expecting Undertaker to show up? Maybe 25%, you think?
He doesn't show a class of champions. It's not in his contract.
It's hard to tell. I feel like Undertaker's one of those guys who always has the CM Punk vibe of people in the crowd just expect him to return every show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Undertaker. We did get that chance tonight.
I mean, yeah, after Sammy got rocked.
Well, yeah, let's just talk about Sammy for a sec. After the match had started up between Miz and Shinsuke, Sammy's being the nasty mother pus bucket cheerleader on that microphone. They cut his mic off halfway through him yapping. That was fun. That was entertaining and enjoyable, and it was great that the announce team actually picked up on it and talked about it a bit. They didn't ignore it. Because that just made the whole thing part of the whole thing, which was good. But the match itself, how did Shinsuke do as far as you're concerned, Omega?
It's a little hard because I've lost so much interest in Shinsuke at this point.
Yeah, well, this is the reason why I threw it to you like that, because we've been disappointed like crazy. Basically in how he's been used since he came to WWE.
Yeah. So he was supposed to be the biggest deal they ever got out of Japan and.
Yep. You know,
okay. A couple runs with the mid-card belts and that's it.
And it's just, I don't know, whoever, because here's the thing. When you go, and watch an indie show, And Keishi is Wacko Ninja in the chat room. He can back me up. For the most part, most indie shows will let the wrestlers book their own match. If there's certain things that the booker wants told in that ring, the booker will say, okay, guys, this is what you need to work into it. This is what I want. This is who's winning. This is who's going over. This is how the finish has to be. Maybe throw in this and that and the other move. But after that, you guys go for it. When you get to WWE, and maybe to a lesser extent, like AEW, you are told when you're not the main event, big deal, who's been around a hell of a long time, you are told 90% of what you're supposed to do in that match. This is why we see botches all the time, because wrestlers accidentally lose their place in a match. And then they'll literally restart that move so they can land that move so they can move on. We've talked about it. We've seen it. We've made fun of it. This is what happens. And the problem with Shinsuke Omega is he's been told to do stuff that does not fit him, does not suit him. And this is why you and I are in the same boat. We're feeling extremely let down with his run in WWE. And it's not a knock against him. It's a knock at how he's been used. As far as I'm concerned, like, this is what I'm thinking. What do you say?
I mean, I would agree with that. We've seen it a lot where WWE will take somebody that is phenomenal in the Indies, phenomenal in Japan or wherever you found them, and they dumb them down so much because they want them to wrestle a particular style. They want them to have a particular pacing, do particular moves a certain way, and they're not always comfortable with that. A lot of times we do see where, especially with like cruiserweights who come in, you look at someone like Sin Cara, who is very, even Rey Mysterio, and you come into WWE and become very injury prone all of a sudden because they're wrestling a style they never trained in before and they're not comfortable with.
Yeah, well, I've got one huge name that's a perfect example out of AAA Mexico. Sin Cara.
Yeah, like talk about injury prone.
Yep. I mean, did you ever see him wrestle in AAA?
Unfortunately, I didn't.
Okay, I have.
He's so much better than in WWE.
I mean, when they brought him in, they were trying to replace Rey Mysterio. That's not a small thing.
No, that's huge.
Yeah.
And how long did it take Rey to adapt? And I'm not talking about coming over to WWE, because he was in WCW forever. And he adapted there. And so he had a stepping stone when he hit WWE. He knew what they were about.
Oh yeah, well, cause WCW, he was having matches with the Giant / the Big Show.
Yeah. And Sin Cara never had any of that, but, I've seen him work AAA, and I'll tell you, now we're talking the original here. He was absolutely incredible down there. They bring him into WWE. I'm excited. I'm thinking, great. And then he has his first match and I'm, what the hell is this? And so I was almost positive they had replaced gave the character to a different wrestler. So, but yeah, how do you figure The Miz did?
The Miz did about
how The Miz always does.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Like I don't like even bashing on. I don't want it to sound like it's bashing on The Miz, because The Miz is consistent as hell. You know, it's hard to find someone in WWE that you can say that about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've liked The Miz. I've not liked The Miz, but that's talking as a fan. Objectively speaking, there is nothing you can say against him, really. He's a 100% company dude, and he's such a company dude that he changed outside of the locker room because he wasn't initially accepted, Mr. Reality TV star. He was told, get out, you can change in the hallway, and he like took that literally, and that's what he did. He did everything he was asked to do. He did everything that he was told. He did everything he could to not make waves with the other guys until they accepted him. And yeah, sure, he may be upper mid card, but he's got a permanent place with WWE. And yeah, when he does finally retire, The Miz is going to wind up in the Hall of Fame. A lot of upper mid card guys will never be there. He will, I think. My opinion. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I'm disappointed Shinsuke retained.
I feel like Miz should be doing much better things than he is. Not just like losing mid-card title matches. Dude should, for as long as he's been around and for as much as he's proven himself, he should be up there. He should be in the talk for the world title at all times.
He had a great run with John Cena and then got buried. And you know, he's worked himself to the top of the mid card as the chaser. But you're right, Omega. You're right. I think the time is just about due for him to enter the main event picture again.
You said how long? I don't know. I don't know.
Oh.
It's really tough considering with WWE and the new changes and stuff.
Would you rather The Miz chased the WWE title or the Universal title?
Honestly, if you put The Miz on any title, it'll make it feel like a top championship because of the way how The Miz presents himself.
Well, yeah, Mike, pick one.
WWE Championship.
Okay, Omega, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd rather it's weird because I'd rather it be the WWE Championship because that's the legacy belt. It's the belt he's held before.
Yeah.
You know? It does seem like they make the Universal title feel bigger because they're still trying to get it to feel like a super important belt.
And that's the one on Raw.
Yeah, where I feel like you have to be like a Superman villain to compete for that.
So, yeah. Would you rather him chase the title as a babyface or a heel?
Babyface. I've seen Miz as a heel for so long. I want him to have a babyface run at this point.
I've enjoyed the babyface run he's been on since Shane turned him. yeah. I'd like the babyface. Give him the title as the good guy. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, I'd go with it.
But he's the Miz. Would you still give him some slimy shit?
He could be a tweener for all I care, an anti-hero.
See, for me, that'll work, and I'd enjoy that very much. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the coming days, weeks, months, and years in WWE. Next match. Here it is, guys. To me, best match of the night, best match on the card. This was... forget Seth versus Braun. This was the main event as far as I'm concerned. Becky defending against Sasha. There's only one glitch. Omega, you and I chatted about that, and I agree 100% with what you said. We're going to get there in a second. Mm-hmm. But this match, great false finishes. Neither girl was giving a squash to the other girl. They didn't trade finishers. I think that's probably the only thing they didn't do. But great, great false finishes until it fell apart. And again, it was just a minor glitch. And Omega, I'm going to just let you go ahead and rant.
So, weird thing happened during this match that I don't recall ever seeing and taints everything before and after. Because it's not something you do one time and just forget about it. So at one point in the match basically ends after Sasha, maybe a half second too early, dodges a chair shot from Becky, who wipes out the official, who sold it as if he just got hit from behind the grassy knoll, like down, and he's not getting up. Becky must swing. Yeah, Becky must swing that chair with like the strength of Hercules or something. Cause that's the longest I've seen a rep down in a long time.
Well, that's one hell of a magic chair.
Yeah. He goes comatose.
Yep.
They fight all the way up the crowd, in the back, back into the arena, back down the crowd, back toward the ring. You think, wow, they're having like a false count anywhere match in the middle of their actual match. And then they're going to resume in the ring. That's kind of cool. Wait a minute. Because the announcers are now saying that Becky's been disqualified for hitting the official with a chair.
But who told them?
who, yeah, no one gave him because ref was still out cold.
I swear he fell asleep.
Yeah.
I think I caught him snoring.
This was nap time. This was absolutely nap time for the ref. So he's still down, which means the call had to come from someone in the back. It had to come from a WWE official in the back that was watching and knew what happened.
Now, why does this bug you?
Because heels get away with shit on camera all the time. We saw it in the Bayley match. Like, that's the whole point, is like the crowd sees the heel do something dastardly. You go, boo, but they still win because they used a dirty trick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole point of being a heel. It's like you cheat to win. You sneak things through. You know, and if the officials could just stare at a monitor and go, they're disqualified. Nope. Bailey used an exposed turnbuckle. Disqualified. Then what's the point of having the ref out there?
No.
You know, and then why don't you just do that to every situation? This means like you could do this anytime a heel cheats. You could have done this for like the last 30 years and you could do it from here on out. No, we're not.
Yep.
We're just going to ignore that this precedent has been set. This is the kind of thing that bugs the shit out of me because A, like you're kind of ruining the whole premise you have going here. That it's the official in the ring is the only one that actually sees what's going on and the only one who can make the call. You know, and B, this means that every time a heel gets away with something that I see on camera from now on, I know there should be someone in the back who's not doing their job.
Yeah. And you're going to every week in and week out, you're going to bitch about how they screwed up that call and missed the call in the back.
Pretty much.
Call them out. I had a really, really, easy fix for this, didn't I?
Did you?
You don't remember? Halfway through Becky and Sasha beating the shit out of each other up the stairs and into the concourse, the referee wakes up, gets up from his nap, signals for the bell to ring. The referee DQs Becky. The girls are still beating the tar out of each other, get back into the ring. Then you have the officials all run out and break it up.
And that's what a sensible person would do. That's how it should go.
Easy. Done. And this is why I said, I think the ref fell asleep. Reminds me of a story about an episode of Star Trek that William Shatner told me about one time. They pretend to beat up the Klingons, played by stuntmen, who all, you know, fell down, and it was a really long scene after the fight. And Spock and Kirk are exchanging dialogue when they hear snoring. They look down, try not to break character, and laugh. One of the stuntmen fell asleep and was snoring during the take. This is what I think happened to the referee.
I mean, we know Road Dogg took a nap during the Royal Rumble once.
It did happen.
It happens.
Yep. But I'm surprised you didn't call me on my one more attempt to reference Star Trek on this show.
I can't keep up with it at this point.
There you go. I'm sorry. My bad. Anyway. Except for that one little glitch that we fixed in no time at all.
Except for that awesome one glitch match. That ruins everything forever.
Yeah, other than that, it was an awesome match.
Yes, it was. They both had something to prove.
Absolutely. Mike, any input?
I freaking loved it. It was, it was really good, and I'm just like, holy crap.
Did you get put off by that little bit that Omega noticed and he and I talked about?
Just a little.
Did you really? Did you even notice?
No, I didn't notice. I didn't care. I was being a fan. Put it like that.
Okay, there you go. Here I am the entire time I'm watching the aftermath of the chair shot that hurt around the world. I'm waiting for the bell. I'm waiting for the announcement. And then I hear the announcers and I'm like, wait a minute, who DQ'd her? And I do believe that's when you went off. Omega.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. So, it's hard to watch. Yeah, I try, sometimes just to lose myself, and watch as a fan, but it is so hard, especially when something gets noticed or is noticeable. So, I don't know. Now, I'm not saying the referee actually fell asleep. I'm saying he probably fell asleep. He most likely did not fall asleep. I just wanted to clarify that. But, yeah, expect a rematch on this one for sure. Up next, the WWE title being defended by Kofi Kingston, taking on Randy Orton in that infamous rematch that nobody wanted that we got because we got the finish that nobody wanted at the last pay-per-view known as SummerSlam. Omega?
Yay, more Randy Orton.
I got no truck with Randy. I just don't think he needs to be fighting for the title at this point in his career.
I mean, it's fine. I guess at this point, like, he did what he's supposed to do with his career, is he gave Kofi Kingston a really good rub going into the next stage of WWE's life on Fox.
Yep.
No, that's the one thing. It's like, this is why companies like ECW and AEW put their titles on big stars first, regardless of age. Because having that name attached to it does add a level of value. Giving Kofi Kingston a rock solid win over Randy Orton, that says a good deal about him.
Yep. Well, Randy Orton, another company guy. But he learned the business from his dad and his granddad too, right? So
I would hope so.
Yeah. This match.
It'd be really, really terrible to be a third generation and have your family go, nah, we don't want to train you.
Yeah. That would be bad. No, I'm not doing it. Forget it. No.
No.
Have you thought of being an accountant?
Go to Canada. Ask Stu.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Well, back then.
Okay. Back then. All right. You got me. I didn't hate the match. I didn't love the match. I didn't mind the match. I wasn't overly disgusted, disappointed. Okay, Kofi finally proves that he's capable of actually beating Randy, which, yeah, he beat Randy and retained him. That's all great and okay. You know, they could have done that last pay-per-view. We didn't need the rematch. You didn't need the family drama. None of that stuff. This whole match was just, I just had no interest in it. Unfortunately.
Yeah, which is really unfortunate for the WWE title.
It is. Like, don't get me wrong, I think it's great that Kofi's carrying the title. It was his opponent that just, ugh, you know, so. And that's a terrible thing, to say about, a great company guy like Randy, but it's just, yeah, wrong guy chasing the title there. Anyway, I don't think we need to talk any more about this one, do we?
I think I'm good.
We're good. So, who's been attacking Roman Reigns?
The internet community?
No, not since he came back from leukemia last year. Oh my God. Do you realize it's almost been a year since that happened?
It's been about 10 months. I actually went back and watched the video today.
Almost a year. That's incredible. Oh, this year has flown by too quickly. I say that every year, but every year seems to pass quicker than the year previous, except for winter comes. Cause unlike you, we get lots of snow up here. And when you get snow, it can seem to last forever. Back to the match at hand, Omega. Rowan's the guilty party. Rowan's been stalking, Roman. It's all Rowan's fault.
Yeah. What they had to slap together to actually make this storyline somewhat coherent.
Yeah.
Because apparently this got botched on multiple levels to the point where people got fired.
More than once. Yep.
Yeah.
One guy was fired so hard he got fired twice.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, continue.
No, like, there's nothing about a Rowan match that's like a one-on-one Rowan match that's really going to get me all that excited.
Yep.
Like, it's fine for what it was. He had some powerhouse moments, you know, so he at least looks like a threat against someone like a Roman Reigns.
Yep.
You know, but it's the best they could do, like, with what they had to work with, which was a whole lot of mess.
Do you think that throwing Harper in at the end was the plan all along, or they did that to salvage this?
No, I think they paid him a lot of money to come back and do that.
Yep.
I think it's like, no, listen, we boned this so hard. Look, we'll add an extra zero to the end of the check. Just come back and make sense of this.
Please help us. So, yeah. I mean, it was kind of cool to see, Harper returning, and everybody was in the crowd is chanting, welcome back, which is all fine and dandy.
It is cool.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, you look at it from the perspective of Eric Rowan, where this is the first thing he's gotten to do ever. The last time he had a solo run, he was still in a sheep mask playing with a Rubik's Cube in the back. And that was the extent of his character. Oh, he solved it every time.
Oh, okay. I could never solve that damn thing.
Because he was supposed to be some kind of like super genius.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's like here's the thing. Here's Roman Reigns. Here's the company guy. You are now in a one-on-one feud with the company guy. You're now the big threat, the big villain. You took out Daniel Bryan, who carried this company for years.
Yep.
You know, where the WWE wanted you to think Roman Reigns was carrying this company. Daniel Bryan was busy carrying the company.
Yeah, it was all Daniel.
But, like, just to have Luke Harper come back. Oh, now it's just the Bludgeon Brothers again.
Yeah.
Now it's just the same old thing they've been doing since they debuted.
They're stuck in the upper mid tier tag team.
Yeah, just look, here's your breakout moment. Just kidding. We're going to go right back to everything you've always done.
Yeah. So Roman loses, I guess. I don't know. I didn't care about this match. I didn't care about the, lead up to this match. I didn't care about the entire angle. I really had no vested interest at all, unlike Mike.
Whatever.
All right. I'm taking a shot at you. So what?
That's all you do. Take shots.
There you go. All right. So shall we take a look at the main event tonight, guys, or the last match on the card instead? See what I did there? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Main event of the evening, Seth Rollins defending against his former tag team champion partner, Braun Strowman. They're really, really building up Seth to be a monster killer here. Hey, monster slayer, whatever.
I need to take down Lesnar and take down Braun, and good lord, they made it look like it took everything he had.
Yep. And then some.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. They're building him into, being the monster baby face of Raw, which, yeah, okay. Yeah, it works. He's not your first choice. Now, when I say he's not your first choice, I don't mean he's not our first choice. I mean, he wasn't WWE's first choice by a long shot. WWE has finally realized what they've got with Seth Rollins, maybe, you figure?
I don't know, cause they made him the top heel of the company for years.
Yeah.
Like, and he held the belt for most of that time.
Yeah. But he wasn't the franchise while he was the top heel holding the belt. He wasn't the heel version of John Cena. They were pushing Roman for that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I didn't mind the match too much. It wasn't anything I wasn't expecting, really. Big man against the champion. Mike?
It was good. The only thing that I was scared of was the superplex spot.
Yeah.
I think they tried to do too much with that. It's like, oh, I am the giant slayer, yada, yada, yada. I can superplex you. Hey, we're all still human.
Mm-hmm.
Nice try. That's pretty much how I see it.
There you go, Omega.
God, I don't know at this point.
No. The one thing that they absolutely did right, Seth delivers the pedigree and then four curb stomps before he's able to pin the big guy.
No.
There's
a curb stomp kicked out at one, curb stomp kick out at two, curb stomp kick out at two and a half.
Yep.
Okay, screw this, pedigree, then curb stomp. Now you're down for three.
There you go. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for putting it in the proper order. But they still did it properly. He was given four curb stomps and a pedigree before the pinfall. Is my point. It is like Seth really worked at it and got it. And that's fine and dandy. Seth retains.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
This is kind of how like Lesnar's matches with Braun went. where he just hit his finisher over and over and over until the guy stayed down.
Oh, God.
But it worked a lot better here.
Yep.
Yeah, it did.
I'm going to agree with that 100%. Absolutely. I don't know what else to say about this match, guys.
I really do wish there is such a part of me that does wish that they had held on to the tag belts and Braun won tonight. Because I just love to have seen the look on Seth's face having to walk out as the tag champs next to the guy who took his Universal Championship.
That would have been interesting. Well, let me ask you this. Do you give them any kind of a rematch to try to win the tag titles back?
Considering a Mongrel team won them, like part of me, kinda.
Yeah.
But given what's about to come next, no.
Mike?
Absolutely not. No. You don't give them another shot. If they do, they're not gonna win it. But there's no point.
Well, let's take a look at it tonight. The mid-card Mongrel tag team won the titles from a top-tier Mongrel tag team. Ad hoc. If you don't like the word mongrel, you use ad hoc.
Yeah.
Makeshift.
There you go.
Makeshift was Rude and Ziggler. That was makeshift.
There you go. That being said, Mike, how many matches you figure set up Hell in a Cell?
One.
You've got one. Omega, how many you got?
Overall tonight?
Yep.
I'm going to go with, I don't know, I'm thinking at least three or four.
Okay, I've got two definites and a third maybe. Now, the other thing about it, what were the two best matches on the card tonight? We're going to get back to the Hell in a Cell in a second, but what were the two best matches in the card tonight in your opinion?
Well, Becky and Sasha.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
And?
Then, honestly, probably the women's tag too.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
The one that I'm going to have to say, the main event.
Whoa. Say, what's the main event?
The main event was Braun versus Seth.
How do you figure that's one of the best two matches on the card tonight?
No.
That's what we're talking about currently. You've got to pay attention.
The best, all right, best two.
Best two matches tonight.
Ew. Sasha and Becky.
Yeah.
And Braun and Seth.
Okay, if you like that, that's fine.
Story-wise, telling a story-wise.
Yeah, no, here it is. The best two matches on this card tonight were Sasha versus Becky, number one. Number two was Alexa and Nikki taking on Fire and Desire. Those were the two best matches on the card tonight. What do they have in common? They're both women's matches. Does that mean anything? Yes and no. The women's division has come such a long way that the best matches are being given to us by the girls. That's the yes. The no is it shouldn't be such a big deal that people like me are putting that out there separately from anything else. For me, the two matches that sets up Hell in a Cell, Sasha versus Becky as a rematch. That's like, for me, no question about it. The other one that I would do would be, Bayley and Charlotte. Bayley and Charlotte, honorable mention for best match of the night. I'm putting them at number three, by the way. But those two matches, and the third one, maybe Miz versus Shinsuke, but I don't know. That's my take. Mike?
Honestly, does it feel like Shinsuke and Miz could have been a lot better? In my opinion, I feel like it could have been a lot better.
But you put him in Hell in a Cell, you don't have to worry about, what's his name?
Sammy's gonna have a lot of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So, but those are my two matches for Hell in a Cell, Omega.
Yeah, I can see that happening. You might see Revival and New Day again.
Yeah.
Since Xavier went in injured. And you're gonna definitely see Roman versus either Rowan or Harper, maybe both.
Would you put that as a 2-on-1 handicap or give Roman a tag partner?
If he gets a tag partner, it's going to be a very bitter Daniel Bryan.
Honestly? That'll be pretty cool. Not gonna lie.
Interesting. Okay. So there it is. That, everybody, is Clash of Champions. What do you figure? Should we let everybody know what happened in Pick'em?
Maybe. You know what? Why not?
Hold on.
What the fuck? The Fiend? Not going to talk about The Fiend. Not going to set the
hall.
Well,
you know what he does. You know, the copyright thing comes up in the corner and he shuts the stream off.
He didn't see it. Cause like, you're talking about Hell in a Cell and the big match on the Hell in a Cell. They set up the main event, which you completely ignored.
Told you I was having issues with my TV and I didn't see it. So go ahead, Rock. Tell us what happened.
Seth Rollins up on the stage. They do the whole credit thingy about they always do, and they go almost go to Fade in Black, but instead of Fade in Black, it just goes dark and the Fiend shows up. Sister Abigail.
Spoiler alert.
Sister Abigail, Seth Rollins. The Fiend's all spooky and crazy, and then hits the mandible claw and he leaves Seth Rollins laying. So that's your main event. You put him in the cell. That's your main event.
There you go. Thank you. How are the Eagles doing, by the way?
So, let's talk about pickup results.
Yeah, I knew it. They were losing.
Sorry about pickup results.
Yeah, you just can't admit the fact that they're not winning, eh?
They lost. I mean, it happened.
Oh, they did lose. You're done now, huh? Oh, I thought the game was going to go on for a long time. Well, no, not if the Eagles are playing. They're going to lose. You know why they lost? Because they put Alex Singleton on the practice roster. Jesus, those idiots.
Who? Exactly. No one.
Anyway.
No one that matters. Anyway, let's go pick them results.
Oh, he matters. He matters. You ever get a chance to see him play, you'll understand why. Staff are a bunch of idiots.
It's Canadian football.
To take a look at pick 'em results.
Doesn't really matter.
So there.
It's Canadian football.
Pick
'em results, go.
The guy had 20 goddamn tackles in one game in preseason, and they put him on the practice roster. It's not Canadian. He went, we're talking about the Eagles. But anyway.
Canadian football guy.
You're just shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. No wonder you're cheering for a loser. Holy cow. Okay. Clash of Champions. Picking results, kids. Here we go. Starting at the bottom. Jenna, is that just seems like a new name, to me. 16th place.
Hold on.
She got
hold
right,
on.
Nate wrong.
Hold on.
What?
Let's do this. Listen to CB Radio every Saturday night, midnight, and she's on the show every single week.
Sounds like a new name to me.
She's been on the show for 2+ years.
All right. Jenna is Jenna of Robin Jenna.
There you go.
I knew that. I was just being a prick. No, anyway, she got 3 right, 8 wrong. She's all by herself in 16th place, but looking up her rear.
Phrasing.
Pardon the play on words. In 15th place, Rob, 4-7. Omega, you batted 500. You got 5 right, 5 wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Jobber, 13th place, 5 right, 6 wrong. Mike, you got 6-4.
Eh.
Yeah. Chris P, Sheila, and Subway tied in 9th place with 6-5. In 6th place, 3-way tie, the 8 ball, Team Chat, and me. Hello in 5th place, Tommy C. Congratulations to the intern and Keishi. You guys went 9-2. Feel free to say, wow, and way to go, to you, Kyle. And tied in 1st, I call shenanigans like I do all the time when these two are in cahoots with each other. Lindsay and Rock, 10-1.
And your point is what?
I call shenanigans.
That we know the product and stuff like that?
No, I think you guys cheat somehow. I don't know. I think you guys see the booking sheet in advance.
I don't know about that one, Chief.
Hey, who's Team Chat?
Matt.
I know, I was kidding. Anyway, so yeah, there's Clash Champions and Pick'em results. Everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. Tomorrow night, the Fallout Raw, and immediately after Raw is the Raw Post Show.
Yeah, we'll be live this Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern for the Raw Post Show.
Yeah, and of course, Fortune with Friends or whatever he calls it. It's a video game that he streams on Twitch. Fortnite, that's it. Fortnite with Friends on Twitch.
Thursdays and Saturdays, Fortnite with Friends.
There you go. Speaking about Thursday, almost every Thursday, well, every Thursday that they're live, it's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack radio show with multi-time, multi-award-winning Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, we'll be live this Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. We should be live with The Rack most of October at 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack radio show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yay. Awesome. All right. Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as we get to it. The wild, the wacky, the unusual, the people who don't like Toy Story 4, Seat Radio.
Okay. We finished up the season 1 of The Greater Than Great Debate last night. And we start season 2 of The Greater Than Great Debate this Saturday night, midnight-ish. SeatRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com.
There you go. Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, we might be back for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Real Talk Radio at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. We might just talk about the WWE draft coming up in just over 2 weeks.
Three.
Well, that's just over 2 weeks.
Cool.
It's a live two-night event between Raw and SmackDown, the WWE draft, coming soon.
News broken during NFL football.
News broken during the WWE pay-per-view.
No, it was broken during football, like 1 p.m. Eastern.
Anyway,
they were doing the Seattle game, and they read the copy. It's like, here, WWE draft, and the Twitters went, wait, what did they say?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyway, Rock, I think that people should follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. What do you think?
At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio. And Wild Talk Radio is on Facebook and Twitter at WTR Sunday Night. You can follow and subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Did you know it's September? Yes, it is, which means a new Tier 1 subscription is only $2.50. Which you help support the channel. Also, if you have Amazon Prime linked to your Twitch account, it's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free and support the network that way, and all that on that file of stuff. And use credit code RockTalkin4Night.
Wow. Okay. As far as Twitter goes, you should follow me at Flames Forums, where I will be posting a poll to find out if you think that Rock could talk any faster or not. You'll be able to vote yes or no.
I could if I really
if you don't
really
care about that, but you want to get my uncensored side, follow me at Voicing Sanity. Kyle, if you're not following me there yet, do it now at Voicing Sanity.
Tweet
Omega,
Tim.
You're all over the place. What do you want?
Tweet Tim about your nipples at Flames Farms.
Shut up. Omega, you're all over the internet.
I try to be.
You missed their TJ reviews?
Yeah, that's the name I'm known by over on Facebook.
There you go.
Beyond that, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel, which is going to be a lot more active, from here on than it has been recently. And for the stuff that YouTube won't let me post there, you can go find it over at tjomega.net.
There you go, yeah. And, of course, Mike is on the Twitter machine.
That's right, I'm on the Twitter machine. You can hit me up, the WTR Oreo. You're going to see a lot of promos and a lot of stuff that's happening for my pro wrestling life now. Hit me up on the Twitch page, Stu Heyman. I'm doing WWE Universe Mode every Thursday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, and, yeah, that's it.
That's it. That being done, don't worry about it, Kyle. You wouldn't be trolling me on my angry Twitter. Just follow me on my angry Twitter. You'll be happy that you did. And, intern, just so you know, I am muting you for 7 days as of right now, and you know why. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next time right here, Wild Talk Radio. I'm a champion.
Fightful.com.